T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
But for those of you that are lifelong New York Islander fans, just want to send thoughts, prayers out to the family of Clark Gillies, who passed away over the weekend, 67 years young. And to those of you who are, you know, longtime Islander fans who feel a little empty after the weekend when you heard the news of his passing, I just wanted to send our condolences out there.
Amen. He's one of those guys where if you're my age, you know the name. You may not remember him as a player, but you know all about him. You know he was an enforcer. You know he was a four-time champion. And you always saw him around the building, the old building and the new building. He was chugging beers at the playoffs last year. It was freaking awesome. He's a part of the Islander family. So condolences to his family. He'll definitely be missed.
Yeah, I didn't know that he was sick, but I guess he had been fighting an illness for a while.
No one knew either, by the
way.
Yeah,
and they didn't announce it either. No. So. So Clark Gillies did pass away at 67. So thoughts and condolences to everyone out there that news crushed, because I know for a lot of people that was crushing.
It was
news.
Stunning. Yeah. That's the thing about it. When there's a guy who's around all the time, 67 is still young. It felt like it really came out of nowhere, because none of us knew the battle that he was having with cancer. So it definitely took me by surprise. Friday night after the game, all of a sudden I hear that news. I was like, what happened? So. Very devastating and stunning news for the Islander family.
Here's a good question from Jay and Mets. If Tyreek Hill starts on the goal line, what yard line would you have to start on to beat him to the other goal line?
The other 30. I'm not kidding. I'd have to be at the opponent's 30.
I mean, even then it might be close.
It may be tight.
Could you imagine
have you... God. Have you ever seen the freeze in Atlanta? It's related to this.
The freeze.
So the Atlanta Braves have a competition.
Oh, yes, I have. Okay. Because I saw one guy thought he had it won,
right,
and he stumbled right at the finish line.
So basically, they have that competition with this guy known as the freeze. I think he's a former track star.
Yeah, I imagine he is.
And a fan in the middle of each game gets a head start against the freeze with a chance to beat him around the warning track. And the freeze never loses. And that would essentially be Tyreek Hill if he raised any human being.
That's a good question. I would have to think about it. I'd like to say, like, if you gave him a 40-yard, if he gave me a 40-yard head start, I'd probably lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good question. You think you'd have to start on the 30?
Yes.
Wow. Like a 70-yard head start?
Yeah.
In a 30-yard, at a 100-yard race?
Yeah. I'm slow and he's fast. What more do you need to know?
Like, how long? And I've seen you run. You are slow.
Yeah.
Like, how long would you run the 40 in?
I have no idea.
I'm going to say 6 seconds.
I am willing to do it.
Maybe 6.5.
Once the weather gets warmer, I'd be curious and I'd time myself. I have no issue with that. So I'd love to kind of test myself and see how long it would take.
I would think, I'm going to be nice here. You're 6 to 6.5 seconds in the 40.
Okay.
So if he runs a 4.2, right?
Mm-hmm.
He runs 4.2. If you could hold a 4.2, which would be hard to do for 100 yards, a 4.2.
Yeah, but Craig,
would be...
I'm not holding a 6.2.
Yeah, but hold on. I'm just trying. I'm doing the math.
Okay.
So a 4.2 over 100 yards would be 8.4 and 2.1. 8.4 and 2.1 is a 10.3. 10.3 divided by 10 is essentially 1. Right?
I'm lost.
So it would take him...
right now.
So he would beat you.
Yeah, wow. Of course he would.
Wow, you are slow.
Well, he's also fast.
And he's really fast. Like, he's fast against fast people.
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of those two things. I am slow, as are you. You'll make up some injury you have. And he's really
fast. Have a torn rotator cuff and labrum.
And there it is.
I've got the Baker Mayfield injury, but unlike Baker, I don't get it operated on. That's right. Who's the tougher guy now?
Right. I'd like to see you get hit by 330-pound defensive tackles.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that. At this stage of my life, that's a pass for me. Here's Sal in Yorktown on the Fan. Sal, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Before I get to my point, Greg, I'm a retired correction officer.
Yes.
And I had Denny McClain back in the day.
Yeah.
I love talking sports. I would have loved to have talked sports with you.
Well, yeah, it's funny. It's funny that you actually talked to him while he was away, because that's the first thing you learn before you go away is don't talk to the COs.
So you wouldn't have talked to Sal.
No, we never would have spoken. Yeah.
Come on.
No, I'm sorry. I learned very early on. I was told very early on, before I even went there, I was told, you might be the nicest guy in the world. Don't talk to the COs. So that's that.
Why?
Because
you're a rat?
Yeah, you're viewed as a rat.
No, not always.
All right,
so listen, guys, the reason why I called, Evan, I disagree with you a little bit about the call.
Which call are we talking about?
The call about getting the ball back.
The Eric Weddle call.
Oh, the dead ball personal foul penalty, yes.
Okay. Here's why I say the rule is right. And I don't necessarily agree with it. If they intercept the ball and start returning it, and then there's a penalty, well, the other team doesn't get the ball
back. It's different. I'm glad you brought that up, but it's very different. Just like if there's a taunting penalty, it has nothing to do with the play. We are talking about something that was microscopic. Like the football hitting the ground and Weddle making contact with Evans was separated by a second. Like, I can't separate those moments and say, well, the play's over, then he drills him in the head. Obviously, on our interception return, you're not going to give the ball back. That's why common sense to me says that drive needs to extend. He drilled him a second after the ball technically touched the ground.
Yeah, it's a second, a few seconds. You know, what's the difference? We can't keep giving the offense.
Well, here's the deal.
And we have too many rules in the NFL.
Thanks, Sal, and I appreciate your work, buddy. Based on what took place, there is no difference between a millisecond and 10 seconds because that's the rule.
But there is a difference.
The ball hit the ground.
Okay, now let's use common sense.
No, you don't like the rule. I'm saying
of course.
The rule, there's no difference.
Yeah, I have
ball's
a problem.
Ball's dead.
Look, I don't know how you rewrite the rule in the best possible way, but let's all use our common sense on this. That penalty was related to the play.
Yes. Well, here's a better example. Let's say Tom Brady throws the ball 10 yards over Evan's head.
Mm-hmm.
But the ball's not yet hit the ground, the wall, the fan, or anything. The ball's in the air. As long as that ball's in the air, if Weddle cracks Evans when he does, then you're getting interference.
Yes. Or, because it's a great point,
Tampa might win the game.
What if it knocked off of a defender's hand into the air for an extra second?
Yeah.
Same thing. That's where the common sense part comes in.
Yeah, well, it's the referees got it right, though.
Yes.
The rule's stupid.
I got a problem with the rule.
The referees got it
right. Don't you have a problem with the rule?
No, I do not.
Really?
I don't.
You think that my second should really be the difference between
really
a dead ball foul?
I don't have a major problem with it. I don't. I'd be lying if I told you.
And here's the funny thing. It would have benefited Tom Brady.
They might have won the game.
I am not rooting for Tom Brady to be benefited. I'm just trying to be honest. Even though Tom Brady was freaking out when he had a little bit of blood and couldn't believe that Sean Hockley didn't call a roughing the passer, and then Hockley called Tom Brady for complaining too much,
essentially. They're so stupid. They got three fouls like that, 15-yard penalties.
Taunting, if you will.
Just stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand why Brady's pissed, and clearly he wasn't lying because he did have a bloody lip.
He did.
So it's not as if he was lying about it. And we all saw it afterwards. He got hit. Wah! It's amazing, though, that all the games he's played, all the snaps he's taken, all the attempted passes he's made in his career, we're talking thousands and thousands and thousands, that's the first time he got called for a penalty.
Yes.
For a misconduct
penalty. First time it ever happened.
And what's funny, I was watching on Friday, he did that that weekly kiss-ass thing he does with Jim Gray,
mm-hmm.
who carries his luggage. he was asked about whether or not he thinks he gets the benefit of calls. Yep. Like, this just came up on Friday.
I know. The timing of it was strange.
And he said, I think you should check. Like, I get less than anyone. I forget the exact call they were debating.
Roughing the passer.
He goes, the reality is, I do not get a lot of roughing the passer calls, maybe less than most of the guys that you're comparing me to. So they fact-checked it, and Brady happens to be right. And then here we are in the game.
He also gets hit less. It's not really a fair apples-to-apples comment.
But he gets cracked in the mouth. He's got a bloody lip.
Well, the best part about the whole thing was after the game, Sean Hockley.
Who's Ed's son.
Yes. He talks about why he gave Tom Brady the penalty, and his quote was, he got in my face in an aggressive manner and used abusive language.
Well, you know what that is. We all know what that is. CS.
Yeah, probably.
That's what that is. It could be MF in the foot, maybe. Like, if he's in your face going, you mother... You're going to get the flag.
But he probably went CS. I just hate that. Even the taunting penalty, and they don't call it fairly, because in the Kansas City game, Tyreek Hill was doing his peace sign thing, and there was no taunting penalty.
Nor should there have been.
I'm glad, but then they call it all the time elsewhere. Yeah.
To me, I don't think you should ever be called for taunting mid-play. If you do something after the play and you're acting like a jerk or whatever it may be, although I'm not sensitive to it, I like it, okay, fine, call it. But if it's during the play, I think you got to tip your cap.
Well,
because I was during the play.
I get you. I don't even like the taunting penalty after the play. Let the player show emotion.
By the way, Evan.
Why is that a problem? Why are we so offended by that?
Think about this. He peace-signed him on the 15-yard line.
He did do that.
On the 15, he knows I'm going in.
Yes.
Peace. You guys have the audio in there. Did you hear why his explanation afterwards?
About the peace sign?
Tyreek Hill, he was asked about giving the peace sign.
Didn't someone give it to him? Isn't that where it came from?
No, I mean specifically, someone said to him, hey, you know, were you taunting there
right.
when you flipped up the peace sign? He had a great answer for it.
What was his answer?
And here it is.
I even flashed the peace sign, you know what I'm saying? One time, trying to spread peace and love, baby. But, you know, everything happened for a reason.
I'm just trying to spread the peace and love.
What?
Can't we all get along? I'm just spreading peace and love. Peace.
No, I've got no problem with it. I think it's great.
I'm with you. You got to let players at this level, you want to do something in college or high school, I get that. But at the professional level, adults getting paid, I think we got to let some of that stuff go.
And you know who's to blame for this?
Who's to blame for what? The cracking down of it?
Taunting penalties and why they call it. The guy to blame for it is John Mara. Because John Mara was the one who was quoted as saying, no one wants to see a player taunting another player.
Oh, I do.
And I remember when he said it, I said, John, who are you talking about?
Yeah.
You don't want to see a player taunting another player?
Was that off of, that doesn't go back to Odell, does it?
No.
More recent than that?
It was definitely more recent than that. It was just his opinion.
Because if you're going to go to Odell, then you got to go to Randy Moss before that.
No, it was recently when they made this change. And like, I respect that John Mara has a different opinion. I do. But he acted as if we all agree with him. We don't. Most football fans hate the taunting penalties. We're not offended by things. We're not like, oh, my God, can you believe he did that? Oh, 15-yard penalty.
Yeah. Which also, I mean, when you're talking about a 65-year-old white guy, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe the game's passing by a bit. Meanwhile, speaking of Odell Beckham, you may have heard this. You know, a lot of guys, that's a poor way to describe it. There's been a number of guys lately who want to show that they're really hip and cool and up with the times who have said to the teams that they're negotiating contracts with, hey, I want you to pay me in Bitcoin, right? Or partially in Bitcoin. Well, Odell Beckham is one of those guys. And the deal that he made with the Rams, he wanted it to be paid in part in Bitcoin. All right. Now, he wound up doing a deal with a Bitcoin company. So his is a little bit more convoluted than just saying X percent of my salary is paid in Bitcoin. That being said, I want to walk you through something real quick. Bitcoin, as a lot of these cryptocurrencies, have taken a bath lately. Like, they're at the lowest they've been in a couple years, I guess, okay? So Odell Beckham signed a deal with the Rams. I think that was worth $750,000, all right? And Beckham was going to convert that into part of his deal with a Bitcoin company. The name of the company is irrelevant, okay? But because of the decrease in the value of Bitcoin, Odell Beckham's deal has a value of X. It is less, I will tell you, than $750,000. Do you want to take a guess on what it's worth?
Wow. So all because he wanted to get paid in Bitcoin this happens?
Well, here's the deal.
And he's got to wait for it to go back up, assuming it does go
when
back
he,
up.
According to, there's two different stories out there. Dan Revell's got one, and this guy, Weston Blasey's got the other one, okay? According to the story, when he was given the contract for $750,000 and was going to convert it into Bitcoin or receive it in Bitcoin, mm-hmm. Bitcoin was worth $64,000 per coin, all right? It is now worth $35,000 per coin.
Wow, so he probably lost half, I would say.
So the Odell Beckham contract of $750,000 has netted him $35,000.
That's brutal.
Now, obviously,
and it could have gone the other way, obviously.
Let me be clear.
Like if Bitcoin went through the roof, right? It would have turned in a huge number.
He didn't sell it. So just a paper value.
Right.
But if he went to sell the Bitcoin he got for his Rams contract, it'd be worth $35,000. Now, if he holds it and Bitcoin comes back up, which it has frequently, and it goes up more than that, yeah, it could be worth a lot more than that.
Gotcha.
So there you go. So the deal is worth today in Bitcoin dollars, $400,000. So he would have netted $35,000 from the Rams for this contract year. It's a little convoluted, but there's like a professional soccer player who played the entire year, and because his contract was in Bitcoin, he lost $15,000 this year.
That's crazy.
Playing professional soccer.
I think Spencer Dinwiddie now with the Wizards has his entire contract.
You're not allowed to do the entire contract.
So then whatever the max
I believe the max that's allowed in the NBA is half.
Oh.
You could check me on that. But and I know it's complicated for a lot of people, but you know, Odell Beckham Jr. basically, based on the current value of Bitcoin, is playing for free. He's playing for free. So he'll make more money in the postseason because that's not attached to Bitcoin than he did in the regular season. So, yeah, sometimes people think they're a little too hip for the room. Hold on to your money. Or maybe now's a good time to buy. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's the opposite.
Right? Like, how many Bitcoins can you buy now?
I mean, isn't it? What's the difference between that and me in the Chiefs Bill game betting the Chiefs money line right after the Bills went up with 13 seconds left? Like, what's the difference? Aren't you basically just playing the stocks in kind of a way, and then you sell at the right time?
On a very macro level, yes.
Similar, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I've told Evan off the air. I said this on the air last Friday. You know, if you're going to in-game wager, it's day trading stocks.
Right,
it's the exact
right.
same right. thing. But the only way to do it, and I've said this before, and I said in an interview the other day, that if you really want to make money gambling, that's the only way to really
Well, it's
do
funny.
It.
What I did on
but
Sunday.
But it takes such discipline to do it. Most people don't have it because most people wager with their hearts.
But one thing I did is when the Bills went up with 13 seconds to go, I money-lined the Chiefs. They kicked the field goal on that miraculous drive, and then I took a payout, which was a big win. Because at the time, like the odds of them coming back on the money line were like 23-1. So it's kind of the same thing. It's buying a stock and then deciding, hey, I could go for more. Like, I can hold on to this stock thinking the Chiefs are going to win, or I could just sell out. I sold out, rightfully so.
Yeah, you should. I've told you. If the goal is to make money and it's not just an entertainment, like, hey, I went to see a show, so I dropped $50 on a Broadway show,
right,
and it's not about making money, then yeah, do what you want. But if it's about making money, then get out.
Yes.
Because as I was told many years ago, it's okay to win.
And here's the thing. When the Chiefs tie that game, didn't we all have the same thought, which was this game is going to be determined by who wins the coin toss? Like, just the way that game was going, it felt that way. Now, it doesn't always work out that way. I'll never forget one of the great playoff games of all time was Aaron Rodgers' first ever playoff game against the Arizona Cardinals. We mentioned it to Kurt Warner when he was here that one time. 51-45. It was 45-45 in overtime, this great offensive battle, and the game ended not on a touchdown, not on an offensive play, Carlos Dansby's fumble return for a touchdown. So sometimes you're wrong, but I think most of us sitting there last night said to ourselves, whoever wins the coin toss is going to win the football game. They're going to drive.
I felt that way,
they're going to score a touchdown, and that's going to be it.
I think we all felt that way, right? We all felt like whoever wins this coin toss, and there was why wouldn't you think that? I mean, both teams, all they did was score touchdowns back and forth in the last few minutes of the game. There was no doubt that whoever won that toss was winning the game.
No question.
And then you know exactly what was going to happen after that. Every jackass with a microphone or a camera on their phone was going to go online going, the NFL overtime rules suck. Yeah. They cost the Bills. No, they didn't. You know what cost the Bills a chance to go to the championship game? Their defense.
I will.
Now, I don't like the rule, but the rule's not why they lost.
I will tell you something interesting.
You knuckleheads.
So, a year or two ago, I forget the year, there was an NFL team that proposed to the competition committee changing the overtime rule, okay? They wanted each team guaranteed a possession. They proposed it. Trivia question. Do you know the team that made the proposal?
The team that made the proposal...
That both teams have to possess the ball in overtime. Like, what? There was a team in the NFL that went to the competition committee.
Oh, tell me it's Kansas City.
The answer is the Kansas City Chiefs. And here's why.
They were the only team?
They were the team, and here's why. When they lost the AFC Championship game to Tom Brady and the New England Patriots in 2018. 2018? 2018. We all think of that offsides call on D Ford, right? It went to overtime. The Patriots won the coin toss, and Patrick Mahomes never saw the field.
Right.
So a few years ago, this was the Kansas City fans saying, oh, my God, we got
this
screwed.
This is unacceptable.
Bah, 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 bah. And so they were the team. I forget what year it was. A year ago, 2 years ago, maybe it was right after that championship game. They were the ones that made the official proposal.
Yeah.
That each team gets pretty the ball.
Well, it's all in the moment, right? I don't like the rule. I never have. But that's not why you lose the game. Your defense didn't get the job done.
Of course.
That's why you lost the game.
Look, there are many reasons why you lose a game, many reasons why you win a game. Obviously, winning that coin toss would have been monumental. But this is the rule. And the rule before that, you could have simply kicked the field goal.
By the way, what did he call it? Heads or tails?
Tails.
He did.
Yeah.
Boy, tails never fails.
Well.
I would have had that too. I'm always tails. Always call tails.
Oh, you would have lost.
I would have lost. Yeah, no doubt. I wish he had called heads.
You want a Buffalo to win?
No, because I believe, you know, I always call tails. Like, I wish that it was tails and he called heads.
Oh, you win?
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Like, I'm not changing the outcome of that game for anything.
I get it. You wanted it to be like, wrong either way.
Yeah, it's great. Do I feel bad for Bills fans? No. I don't. And I'll tell you why. I don't feel bad for you. I respect the fandom. I really do. You're as good any fan base in any professional sport. So I got mad love for you. And I lived in Buffalo. We're good. We're solid, me and you people. But here's why I don't feel bad for you. May I take you back a few years, Evan?
Mm-hmm.
We had a middle-aged man quarterbacking for our team. His name was Ryan Fitzpatrick. Okay? We had a wide receiver who has become a self-appointed TV star, but also put up great numbers. We were on our way to the postseason, and we felt like, yes, we've somehow discovered the post-Rex Ryan answer. We can get there with a journeyman quarterback having the year of his life. All we had to do was go to Orchard Park, New York, and beat, at the time, a lowly Buffalo Bills team that, yes, was being coached by our former coach. And we went up there, and it seems to me, my memory of it, is that Ryan Fitzpatrick set a record for the worst quarterback play anyone has ever seen in the history of the NFL.
He wasn't good.
I recognize that I'm probably not accurate.
Darrell Revis wasn't good either. Todd Bowles wasn't good either, but I digress.
And the Buffalo Bill fans celebrated them knocking the Jets out of the postseason that day. And I don't forget. So, do I feel for you? No. I don't. I don't shed a tear for you. I don't feel badly for you. I don't wonder what it's like to deal with that kind of pain. It sucks. But you did it to us, and you celebrated it. You danced on our souls and our graves that day, and I never forgot. So while it sucks being you today, sorry.
Don't
feel bad for you. Not sorry.
Don't you have to be at a higher ground to feel bad?
I don't know.
Because how could I feel bad for another franchise when my franchise has won nothing? You know what I mean? Like, my compassion card is out the window.
So who feels bad for them? Yankee fans? Like,
I mean, look, I think there is some Giant fans that feel bad for them. I don't think they have any ill towards the Bills. The Giant fan has won. I'm just saying you and I, with football at least, and basketball, we have won nothing.
We have never seen our teams win anything.
Yeah,
so
nothing.
While I am desperately hoping that one of these days, maybe this year, I get to go to a celebration and watch my team win a title, my compassion, I don't have it anymore.
No.
Like, why the hell would I feel bad? And what makes me wonder is that the Kansas City Chiefs 4 years ago were essentially the New York Jets. They had won a Super Bowl to legitimize the AFL, and they did nothing for the next 45 years.
Yeah.
We were the same. There was no difference. In fact, the Jets had more success than the Kansas City Chiefs. Now they're on the birth of being a dynasty.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.